بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we were talking about the ways in which the Quran encourages us to diagnose ourselves and see where we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Allah says, where are you going? One of the things which I have mentioned many times is the fact that the Quran is a conversation. In a manner of speaking, it's a conversation between the Rabb and the Abd. The Quran asks many questions, and therefore the purpose of asking a question is to get an answer. The purpose of asking a question is not for the question to be repeated by the one to whom it is asked. Right? For example, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Allah is saying, where are you going? So where are you going needs an answer. We have to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to tell him where we are going. What we do is we recite that ayat, and we recite it beautifully, and that is it. In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Allah said, how many of my blessings will you deny? And what do? We repeat the same ayat. The answer to a question cannot be the question itself. Right? The answer to the question has to be an answer. And similarly, other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked different questions. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ. Where are you going? See, it is essential, I don't have to say it, it is quite clear that if you are going somewhere, then we should know what our destination is, and we should know how to get there. What do I need to do to get there? My dear friend Hamza is here. Hamza and I, we go back many years. And he was studying in IIUM in Malaysia, and then he's now working in Saudi Arabia. So he's here to see me. So alhamdulillah. So he came here. There is a destination. So when he came from there, he had a destination. I have to go to such and such a place. And what are you going to do? I'm going for this reason. Right? So if you have a destination, then if you ask him, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ, then he will say, I'm going to Hyderabad. Why are you going? For this purpose. What do you need to do? He has a whole list of things. I have to get an exit permit, I have to have a visa, this, whatever. He doesn't need a visa, he's Indian. But I'm saying the point is that whatever he needs to have is clear in his mind. If that is not clear, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. For example, I went to Dubai earlier this week. Now, don't ask me why, but for some funny reason, I had this in my mind that there is visa on arrival in Dubai, which is also true for Indian passports. What I forgot was that for that you also need to have a 10-year multiple entry visa to the US. Now in my passport, I have the visa on a different passport and I am traveling with a different passport because my old passport, the page is finished. So visa was in that passport. That I left it here at home. I went to them. Now it's very embarrassing for me to say this because I traveled so much in the world. You know, when I told Ahmad, Ahmad said, this I didn't expect from you. So I said, what to do? So anyway, now I land in the airport and the check-in counter, and she says, sir, she is looking through the passport. So I said, what are you searching for? It's visa on arrival. She said, no, sir, where is your American visa? So I said, it's not in this passport. So she said, please give me the other passport. I have to verify that. I said, you don't have it with me. So she's telling me, she says, sir, you are joking with me. I said, why will I joke with you? She said, how can you not have the American visa here without verifying that? You can't board. So I'm stuck. فَأَيْنَ تَذَبُونَ I want to go to Dubai. I don't have the documentation. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes ways. So I phoned, oh, my wife was there mercifully. If I had been traveling alone, I don't know what I would have done. MashaAllah, we've got people from Canada also. So we, Muzaffar came from his house. He picked up the passport, he brought it to the airport. Oh, ek tamasha tha udne, ajeeb hogari. Khair, alhamdulillah, bismillah ta'ala, everything was smooth after that, and I went and I came back. The point I'm saying is that Allah is obviously not asking about a Dubai visa. Allah is saying, your life, فَأَيْنَ تَذَبُونَ, where are you going in your life? And I remind myself and I ask myself, what is the question, what is the answer to that question? Where am I going? Where should I be going? What is my destination? Now it's easy to say, my destination is Jannah. Inshallah, may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah. May Allah give us all Jannatul Firdaus Ula bi ghairi hisab. But to get to Jannah, there has to be an interim destination or interim some things you need to do. Like I gave you my example, my destination is Dubai. But I won't get to Dubai, unless I won't even board the plane, if I don't have the correct documentation with me. So it's not enough to say, I have to go to Jannah. Yes, of course you have to go to Jannah. How will you get there? There is some prerequisite. Something has to be done before you can board the plane for Jannah, no? I mean, it's the same, it's the same logic. And what is that? That is the whole issue of inculcating taqwa in our lives. The whole need for tazkiyah wa tarbiyah, because that is how we inculcate taqwa. The reality, bringing the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our lives. Allah is real. You don't have to make Allah real, because it's not as if there is a concept that you have to make. No. The question is, do you realize it? Do I realize it? Do I realize where I am? It's quite easy to understand this for those who are aware of, current affairs. Most of us do not even realize what state the world is in today. With respect to global warming, with respect to all kinds of things that are happening in the world, both physical as well as in terms of global economics. So if you ask them, where are we going? Most people can't answer that question. And that's not a good sign, because we are living in this world. Whatever happens in this world, whether we understand it or not, will affect us. Right? It's not as if it affects only those who understand. It will affect everybody. So we need to do something about it. And the good news is that everyone can do something about it. The bad news is that most people don't think they can do anything about it. So they don't do anything about it. For example, if I tell you that turn lights off, this affects global warming. At least in theory, most people know this. But how many of us do it? We say carpool, share a ride instead of everyone driving their own car, because this affects global warming, and so on and so on. But how many of us are aware of it? And because we are not aware of it, we are being affected by it. It's not as if because we are not aware, we are not free from it. So also, as far as the akhirat is concerned, there is a price for not having taqwa. There is a price for living in this world as if Allah does not exist. There is a price for living in this world as if we don't have to die. There is a price for living in this world as if we don't have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because we want to live in a state of, state of ignorance, it doesn't mean that the cost will not be there to pay. Whether you are ignorant or you are not ignorant, at the end of the day, we have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as far as we are concerned, we can't say, I didn't know, because we are all aware. We are not ignorant as if, like for example, some tribe living in the middle of the Brazilian rainforest. We are not like that. We are living in the world, we are connected. So we know. Question is, do we bring it into our lives? Taqwa is the state of avoiding the doubtful. Taqwa is the state of avoiding the doubtful. The opposite of taqwa is selective obedience, which is disobedience. Taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. Taqwa is to live a life which is where you protect yourself. The famous question that somebody asked Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and they said, please explain taqwa. He said, have you ever walked on a narrow path between thorny bushes? He said, yes. He said, how did you walk? He said, I gathered up my clothes around myself, held them close to my body, so that they would not snag on any of the thorns. He said, that is taqwa. He said, to live your life with ihtiyat, to live your life with as much care as possible. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu once came back from somewhere, hot day, he came back, he was hungry. His servant was in the house, he asked him, is there anything to eat? So the servant says, brought him a bowl of milk. He said, here is milk. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu drank the milk. Then the servant said to him, it is very strange. Normally anything I give you, you ask me, where did you get this from? Today you didn't ask me. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said that, I didn't ask you because I expect you to give me the right thing. So what was this? He said, I used to be a sorcerer. I used to be one Jyotishi, you know, one Vastu expert. So he said, I was one of these people who, Nujumi, somebody who was, you know, used to foretell fortune and do some magic and stuff. So he said, I used to do that before I accepted Islam. Of course, after Islam, I have stopped all that. He said, there is a tribe which lives a little bit outside Medina. I had done some work for them. They had not paid me. So today I was passing by there. So they gave me this milk as payment. So I brought it home. You asked me for something to eat. I gave you. You drank it. Now think about the, I'm talking about ihtiyat. I'm talking about being careful. Now think about the fiqh of this. The milk belonged to whom? To that man. It was not Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's earning. He didn't buy it. It's not. So when the man gave him the milk, he's giving him a gift. Right? So as far as a gift is concerned, as long as the gift fee nafsihi is halal, and he's not giving him a bottle of whiskey, he's giving him milk, which is by itself, it is halal. So if somebody is giving you a gift which is halal, it is halal for you to eat it. For example, you have some friend of yours who is working in a bank. You know that is his income, which is from an interest-based institution. Or you know that he's got some other business, which itself is haram. But he invites you home for dinner. Can you eat his food? You can eat his food. Because that food has nothing to do with you. It is his earning. So the same place you are sitting... He is eating the same food, you are eating the same food, that food is haram for him, it is halal for you. Because it is his earning, so he will pay for it. But as far as you are concerned, he's invited you there, that's a gift from him. Alhamdulillah, you can eat. Now Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, this is one part of the masala. Second part of the masala is, as far as the man who did this itself was concerned, this he did when he was a non-Muslim, he accepted Islam, Allah forgave all his sins, that matter is also over. Right? So now as far as the fiqh of it is concerned, at the most Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu could have said to the servant, look, don't do this kind of thing again. Right? You know I am careful about this. Why do you do this? Alhamdulillah, there is no problem with this, but still be careful. This is what he had the option. He could have done that. What did he do? He went and he put his fingers in his throat and he started vomiting. He brought out all the milk, he continued to vomit until he brought out blood. Now, by then some people gathered, they stopped him. And they said, you will kill yourself, what is this thing you are doing? He said, I have heard my Habib. Who is his Habib? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I have heard my Habib say that if even one morsel of haram goes into your body and becomes a part of the body, then the fire of Jahannam is wajib on this body. He said, the Jahannam will burn that person. but he was not eating haram. So even this hadith is not applicable on him. Yet why does he do it? Because his tarbiyah was at the feet of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was a muttaqi, he was the leader of the muttaqeen. Radiallahu anhu. This is the meaning of ihtiyat. The ihtiyat is to do more than what is actually required. To stay with the required and to use the fiqh and the law of it and say, oh, nah, this is okay, I'm good. Maybe you are good, but your attitude could be an attitude of arrogance because you are pointing to it in that sense from the point of view of trying to escape from the law. You're not trying to follow the law. You are saying, no, I didn't escape from it. Taqwa is to do the opposite of that. To be more careful than you need to be. And that is the answer to the question, فَأَيْنَ تَذَبُونَ. The answer is to ask ourselves, am I going in this direction? Am I going in the direction of taqwa? Or am I going in the opposite direction? Where I am not concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will do what suits me. If it doesn't suit me, I will not do it. Even though I know this angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.